I'm Jason Githens. I lead the Config Manager product team on the Enterprise Client Management team, along with our Intune product. And over here we have Dean, who's on the Windows team. So we're gonna, Dean's gonna talk about the principles of managing Windows, traditional and modern, and then I'm gonna come back and discuss the overview of Config Manager versus Intune management. The reason we put this session together primarily is that one of the most common questions we get is, when do I manage Windows 10 with Config Manager? When do I manage it with Intune? And it's a great question. And we really, what we want to leave today with is super clear guidance on how to think about those two different management styles of traditional and modern. One bold statement I want to make is that Config Manager is not dead. It is still a reality. We will continue to invest in it. It will be around for years. We can't even see the horizon at which point it goes away because it's so far out. So just to put any fears to rest, if you're an active user of Config Manager, it's not going away. We continue to invest in it. I'll get into that. I'll give you some numbers to prove that my words aren't just words because I run the product team, that they're actually backed by data. It's always good to reinforce my lines with some factual data, so I'll get into that later. That said, though, Intune and Windows are evolving to where modern management is a viable scenario for enterprises. It's going to be a journey by customer, by users within that customer, and it's going to evolve over time. So both styles are valid. We're going to try to be super crystal clear on the scenarios to consider for what's right for your organization specifically. So with that, I will turn it over to Dean to take you through the Windows background, and then I'll jump back in to discuss Intune and ConfigMan.
Cheers. Thanks, Jason. So my name is Dean King-Smith, and I'm a program manager on the Windows Device Management team. Earlier this week, I did a session on the road to modern management. And thanks, Jason, for inviting me to join this talk. I wanted to take a moment and talk about traditional versus modern management. So, quick hands, well, this room is huge. Quick raise of hands. How many people have used any of the components that are listed on the screen right now? That's probably the vast majority of you. This is what we think about when we think about traditional management, group policy, preferences, configuration manager, primarily on-prem and primarily desktop. If we think about this in the context of your traditional IT lifecycle, it tends to start with acquiring Windows, either through volume licensing agreements or going out to Best Buy and buying 1,000 devices from your favorite OEM, but it can be a fairly complex process. This is followed by deployments. One of the things that I had the wonderful experience when I was in undergrad, had an internship on Wall Street, and we actually took an entire floor of a building offline to deploy Windows. Pixie booting took about 45 minutes to actually walk around to every PC and keep hitting the buttons. Mind you, this was Windows XP, so it was a long time ago, but it was a cumbersome and overhead-intensive process. We've heard feedback from some of you guys that you actually just hire high school students to sit in a warehouse and pop a USB drive in and push out your images that way. From an identity standpoint, it's Active Directory, primarily on-prem. Then we get into managing devices, applications, and this whole update cycle, making sure you have the right policies and the right settings and the right security infrastructure in place. Make sure your applications have the right compatibility story to actually be used by your end users. As we took a step back and looked at traditional management, well, we found that 56% of IT's time is being spent on actually this granular day-to-day management. All 3,000 plus group policies, all 1,667 IE group policies, used to be on the IE team, so that's a number that's ingrained in my head for the rest of my life. But there's a lot of time spent here. And as we think about modern management, we want to see what we can do to simplify this experience, to make it cloud-enabled, to make it as secure and productive and lightweight as possible. You know, we talked about traditional management tends to be desktop and on-prem only. We're not on-prem right now, and I definitely don't have a desktop with me. So what does that mean for management? What does that mean for security? What does that mean for reporting? Which brings us to modern management. So if you ever come out to Redmond, I encourage you to come visit sometime and swing by my office. You'll see this quote on my wall, and you'll see this quote on my door. This is kind of like my team's guiding principle. When we think about what management capabilities you want to light up in Windows, it's all about this. Satya talks a lot about a cloud-first, mobile-first world. For your end users, it's all about productivity anywhere. As long as you have an internet connection, or even when you don't have an internet connection, we want to empower all of our end users to be productive. For the IT admins in the room, it's about manageability. It's about making sure that your end users' devices are always up to date, always have the right configuration. They're running on Windows as a service, you're managing how those updates are rolling out. And for the security folks in the room, it's all about making sure that the actual asset itself and your enterprise data is secure, whether on the device or really wherever that ends up living. This is especially critical when we think about BYOD scenarios. So let's take a look at modern management in this IT lifecycle. This is essentially our North Star, where we ultimately want to get to. Simplified user licensing, Windows as a subscription, so you're no longer buying 20,000 seats when you only need 5. For smaller businesses, it's about, if I bring one person on board, then I'm paying for that one person. If I bring 20 people on board, I'm paying for those 20 people. This is how we want to package and distribute Windows long term. For deployment, it's all about the cloud. That internship experience that I had that was, exciting, I was in New York in the summertime and had a blast, I don't want my nephews to have that experience. Because when they get to their internship, they should get a device, they should log in with their user, their Azure Active Directory credentials, and that device should get up and running by itself, pulling directly from the cloud with the right applications, the right settings, everything that user needs to be productive out the box. Analytics, management, security, and app management, think about that as your on-device experience, leveraging the Windows Analytics platform, our telemetry offerings, to make sure that as you as IT admins and IT professionals can always know what's going on with that device. Advanced Windows Defender Advanced Threat Protection to make sure that we're dealing with advanced persistent threats and things along those lines. And last but not least, updating. If Windows is truly a service, you have to make sure that you have a great experience around updating. And that's not only just the operating system, but your applications. Leveraging the power of our enterprise store to package your traditional applications, leveraging Centennial and other technologies, distribute them through the store, manage them through the store. Simplified licensing, excuse me. And of course, from a management standpoint, Intune. We want to make sure that we have a great experience end to end. So what does this all this mean to you? At the end of the day, it's about cost. I put that 56% number up, but time, as you know, generally directly relates to cost. If you spend a week doing something, that's a week of time and a week of cost that could be used doing something else. So when we think about our Windows 10 management principles, it's all about reducing costs and reducing TCO by creating synergies between, creating synergies between our client offering and our cloud offerings with Intune. Our cloud management, Azure Active Directory for identity. If you stopped by my talk on Tuesday on the road to Apathy Management, shameless plug, it's online, take a look at it. We talked about some of these different strategies around how to move from traditional to modern management. The second piece of this is around insights. If everything's running in the cloud and everything is piping up all this lovely telemetry, what can you do with that? We want to be able to provide rich IT we want to provide rich insights to all of you so that you can know when my Lenovo laptop, when the hard drive is about to fail. So if I'm a consultant, before I go on that client side, you say, hey, Dean, come over to the help desk. Let's swap out your hard drive. Let's swap out your laptop. Because we're starting to see data that's telling us that you're reaching that threshold when your hard drive might fail. And last but not least, this comes back to the experience that I mentioned earlier that I want for my nephew when he gets his first internship, assuming he does technology. Another conversation, though. It's around empowering and delighting users. As a user, the last thing you want them to do is have to get this brand new machine and wait. Who in here likes waiting? I surely don't. Not looking forward to fly out of ATO because I know it's going to be a long wait in security, but we want to cut all that down, self-provisioning, getting up and running as quick as possible, applications just popping up on the device. So with all these management principles, that brings us to a couple challenges. And for this, I'm going to hand the floor back over to Jason to talk about these.
Thanks, Dean.
Thanks, Jason.
So this is really the crux of the conversation, this table. These are the comparisons of traditional versus modern management. And the way to think about this, the way to process this slide, is going left to right. Each of these rows is really its own line item of things that you have to resolve to move from the middle column to the right-hand column. These are the pieces that you would have to address, and some will be faster than others, some will take longer than others. It's a combination of Windows evolution through the rapid iteration and innovation of Windows to enable modern management to deliver that cost savings that Dean talked about in a number of these areas. So taking the first row, provisioning. The OS deployment, imaging, refresh, as driven by Config Manager, is the common way to deliver Windows today. That will probably be the common way customers get from Windows 7, 8, 8.1 to 10 as well. It's a standard approach, it's well known, it's well understood, but it is complicated. It is costly, but that is the way to get to, the primary way to get to Windows 10 today. Or you can use native upgrade, also driven by Config Manager. The modern equivalent of that is really when you get out of the imaging process. You do AAD join, auto enrollment into Intune, or you use the provisioning tool that's also been developed by the Windows team to really pivot that vanilla SKU that you got from your manufacturer into something productive, secure, and usable by your end users. A number of things have to happen for that to be a reality, however. You have an existing population of hardware that's already domain joined, running a version of Windows, probably Windows 7. Those aren't just going to be thrown out to get new hardware that's going to be handed to the user that's going to be AAD joined and Intune enrolled. So you have to get those to Windows 10. That's an intersection point where Config Manager is still the best tool to do that. As you get new hardware, as you have, for example, some class of user for whom modern management is the perfect thing for them, because, for example, they're rarely in the office, they use universal apps, or they have a small application stack, you don't have 500 group policies you need to apply to their devices, that might be an opportunity to go to the right-hand, the blue column on that particular use case. Send them a box with a Surface Pro in it. They open it, they put it in their credentials, enrolls into Intune, gets policies and apps, and off they go. Second piece is around identity and authentication. I'm pretty sure everyone in this room uses Active Directory. That's the common identity service for on-prem today. The online corollary of that is Azure Active Directory. The difference between those two, the key difference between those two, is that Active Directory is a combination identity, device registration, and policy service. It has the group policy engine lives in Active Directory. So you can do policy on, and typically people use a number of group policies to lock down their PCs, to enable users to be productive by configuring applications so they talk to the right backend service, et cetera, et cetera. The corollary on the modern management side is Azure Active Directory is an identity service, full stop. It is an identity and security service built around, it's the identity backplane of our entire Microsoft Services ecosystem. But it's not a policy service. The policy service is the MDM that attaches to Azure Active Directory. In our case, it's Intune. Intune then becomes the policy provider as the management authority, and there is no group policy construct in Azure Active Directory. You deliver your policies through the MDM channel, through Intune, as invoked through the inbox MDM stack built into Windows. There is no agent you have to install. It's just there. It's the challenge, one of the challenges there is we have to evolve that agent or that inbox MDM to expose the management capabilities that customers need. It's not ever going to be, for example, a replacement, not a replacement, a equivalent of group policy. Group policy is a cost driver. There are some 6,000 group policy configurations that you can manage, and that drives up cost. And the promise of modern management, as Dean pointed out in the last slide, is to reduce the cost of ownership of Windows. If you move all of those complexities from the middle column, the orange column, to the blue column, you really have not delivered the promise of reducing the cost of ownership of Windows. You've just moved the management model from an on-premises config manager service to a cloud-based Intune service. There is cost savings there, but it's not as profound as we hope for when we make the cost of ownership reduction promise. So that's another consideration, and that's an active evolution. There is more and more going into that inbox MDM capability with every release of Windows. Intune is adding more and more capabilities to manage that inbox MDM exposed capability. And eventually, there'll be a tipping point. It will vary by organization as to when your organization, and it will vary by users within your organization as to when exactly you reach the critical mass point when that modern management policy piece is adequate for your needs. The other thing to talk about there, and I spent a lot of time on this row because it's an important one, is that there are another consideration, and this is where, you know, we're going to have to meet in the middle, so to speak, customer to Microsoft, is there are other ways, with all the new security capabilities of Windows, there are other ways to achieve the intent that you may be delivering today with group policy. For example, with Device Guard, Windows Information Protection, and so on and so on. There's so many new Windows security features, and they are all exposed for modern management, that those maybe have a corollary to what you're using group policy to do today, and you may not need an exact replica of that particular policy object in the modern management side. Software updates. So software updates today is really about granular patch selection. I'm specifically talking about Config Manager. It's granular patch, choosing your patches like KB123, scheduling, testing those, scheduling those, deploying those, rinse and repeat, do it again next patch Tuesday. Windows is changing how they publish patches. For Windows 10, for example, patches are all cumulative. There is no more pick KB123, and that's being done to reduce the fragmentation of the Windows ecosystem in the enterprise. Because today, if you imagine, just multiply by this room, everyone's Patch Tuesday process is probably, they're all probably somewhat different, and you probably have applied different patches to different PCs in your organization. That results quickly in millions of permutations of Windows that we don't have a copy of at Microsoft to actually do testing on, because as soon as you've gone from the RTM baseline or the Service Pack baseline, it immediately starts to devolve into this crazy ecosystem of just different types of patches, different patches applied, some excluded, and it just becomes really hard to assure quality of Windows updates, Windows feature releases, because we don't have a good sense of the underlying platforms that are out there. They're just so skewed. So as patches become more, as patches are cumulative, then there's less, potentially less overhead in the patch management model in Config Manager, because you don't have to go through this process of picking the patches you want, the ones you don't want, testing them each individually. It's a monolithic patch each month. And that sets up on the modern management equivalent of the patch management process is powering your patch service out of Windows Update for Business, and controlling your scheduling of and delivery of those patches out of Intune through MDM. That's a lot less control than is there today. So again, that's going to be more of an evolutionary piece of moving off of the traditional way of managing patches with Config Manager, to a point where you're comfortable moving to this Windows Update for Business-driven patch management as processed or as controlled by schedule through Intune. So that's just going to take some time to evolve and adapt and trust that method, frankly. Next one down is a big sticking point. This is the one that's probably the most common on the list of customers. When you say, when are you moving to modern management? The common response is, as soon as I can deliver all of my 5,000 Win32 applications. And our response is, okay, well, that's not here. That's not doable today. We do have basic MSI installation inbox in Windows in the MDM stack, but something that, you know, a complex setup process like, say, this little product called Office, that can't be run that way. And that's kind of an important one. The it's It would be sort of sad if the user went through this great provisioning process, got auto-enrolled into Intune, and ended up with a device with a browser. So they need stuff to work on once it's done. So that's one of the big ones we're collectively working to solve and address that. The modern equivalent of that is universal apps, the Centennial model, whereby you can take some Win32 apps and effectively wrap them and publish them through the Windows Store for Business, and SaaS apps. But the Win32 app challenge is a big sticking point in the move to modern management, and we are collectively working out a way to ease that pain. We don't have a committed plan yet, but it is high on our list to have some resolution in 2017 to address at least the core of the Win32 app distribution problem. Then you have the agent. One of the benefits, one of the common complaints about Config Manager is client agent health. Nice thing about the Inbox MDM stack is there is no agent. It's just part of Windows. So there is a benefit there as well. And that's not really a migration decision that you have to make, or you don't make a decision based on that, but it's just pointing out that they are two different management styles. SCCM is agent-based. Intune is Inbox MDM-based. Anything Inbox MDM, any MDM vendor can effectively do the same thing. All of our IP and Config Manager is really rolled up in our agent. That's how we do all the unique things like task sequences, application models, so on and so on and so on. But that's been built up over 20 years. That's not something we're just going to replicate overnight in the MDM side. And then finally, and I've already talked about the group policy and MDM policy piece. So that's really, this is kind of our road sign of the areas that we need to do work at variable levels to achieve a viable enterprise story to move to that blue, to actually start realizing the cost savings benefits of Windows ownership. And we absolutely want to go there. When I made the comment that Config Manager isn't dead, it was not a statement of we're not fully behind this move to modern management. It was an assessment of the reality of today that not everything that every customer needs is there for that blue column to be real. It might be in some orgs, it might be in some pockets of your organization, and it's our intent to make that a bold truth over time, and make that to be the way we manage Windows, that we certainly want to get people there. And I want to talk about, in the next couple slides, I really want to talk about how to think about Config Manager in that ecosystem of modern management. It's before I get into the customer examples, it's effectively an and, it's not an or question. Config Manager and Intune together give you the best of both worlds. You get PC management on the Config Manager side, connect that to Intune, you also get cross-platform mobile device management. It's our intent to deliver a thoroughfare to move from A to B over time that's disruptive to your security standards, your IT productivity, and all the other things you're accountable for relative to PC management. So some of the customer examples of customers that we talk to and their ability to adopt adopt modern management right off the bat. So it's like startups or spinoffs, looking to start life all in the cloud. Very few customers have this luxury of being a startup or spinoff. So this is really for a sliver of our customer base that we talk to. But there are absolutely customers out there that want to do that blue column all the way through, and they are sold on the idea. It meets the capability that they need, and they are moving forward with that plan. Those customers do exist, so it's not a myth that people are doing this. There are customers we work directly with that really address that first bullet, that represent that first bullet. Second, are there established enterprises looking to move significant users in their estate to the cloud? They have really bought into this cost of ownership reduction message, and they are actively pursuing moving parts of their estate, whether large or small, to this cloud management model. They are very attracted to shipping a box to a user, having them put in their credentials, and just start working. And we're working with those customers to how can we best fill those gaps around, say, Win32 applications to make that a successful reality. Then there are established enterprises looking to move, you know, pockets of users to the cloud, which is really just related to the bullet above that. And then there are enterprises with no plans for now to move to the cloud at all. They are staying with Config Manager, staying with traditional management. But our challenge is we have to build an ecosystem of management solutions. Windows has to build out capabilities that satisfy every one of these classifications of customers. But it's also meant to highlight that we will continue to invest in all of the customer needs that you see here because they are so variable. There are large defense organizations that are firmly entrenched in that last bullet. There are startups and highly agile, you know, very progressive technology leadership teams in their organization that are more aligned to the, you know, first couple of bullets there. We have to satisfy all of them. And that leads me to our approach to the best of both worlds. So for that early part of the list, they really want to get to that Intune side up there. They want to reduce the amount of infrastructure they have to have. They want to reduce the amount of complexity and people power it takes to run a large, complex Config Manager hierarchy. However, most customers' reality today is really in this in Config Manager with Intune world. And I'm not specifically referring to, even though the slide says hybrid configuration, this doesn't even have to be a hybrid configuration. It can be a separate Intune standalone instance and a separate Config Manager implementation. We have wired them together for them to work well together, whether or not you've connected them as a hybrid configuration or not. But that either configuration, whether you go standalone or hybrid, having both solutions provides you the ability to manage PCs traditionally, and we'll do all the work on our side so that you can move from that orange column to the blue column on the backbone of Config Manager and Intune over the period of time that's right for your organization. Maybe months, maybe years, maybe longer. But we'll have both solutions in place to assure you're successful, whether it's traditional or modern management, and we'll assure that you have the power to move from one to the other as your organization is ready or as parts of your organization are ready. So the transition matrix is really IT desire and functional requirements, which I talked about. How much do you want to get to that left-hand side, and how much are the functional requirements there? So that's really the bar that I could not put a timeline on. I couldn't say that's a 7-year process, a 7-month process, because it's going to be so variable. It's going to be a combination of you buying into this cost of ownership promise, buying into Windows 10, deploying Windows 10 at scale, and then and having the functionality you need on that modern management side to get there. My main point here is that given the unknown variability of that line, we have to hedge. Our hedge is to build both solutions and have them work together. That's our promise to you guys. That's our promise to Windows, is that we will maintain the best of both worlds as long as there is a valid best of both worlds. If 5-10 years from now, on-prem management is just gone, then there's no reason to keep investing in Config Manager, but we're not going to force that issue by de-investing in the product that people use to manage Windows. We will continue investing in it until customers are fully able to move to modern management. So that was just, I just want to make that commitment because I've been asked so many times this week, is Config Manager going away? Is it going to merge with Intune? And the answer is no to the first part. Yes to the second part, because it's already converging with Intune. It's not going to become Intune. We're not going to put SCCM in the cloud, but it will continue to work very closely together with Intune, wired together for, as one great example, conditional access. We provide a conditional access model through agent-based PC management, and that requires a connection to Intune, because the Intune service tells Azure Active Directory if a PC managed by SCCM is compliant or not. Azure Active Directory will then only allow office access, I'll say Exchange access, if that device is compliant as determined by the PC agent. That metaphor also works with Intune management, same conditional access using the Inbox MDM stack. But a lot of the scenarios are mixed between agent-based and modern management, and we have to assure that we wire our services up so that you get the capability whether you're using an agent or whether you're using a MDM. And this is a repeat of a slide I showed yesterday. This is the main point here. I'm not going to go deep into all of the services. I did a full session with a bunch of folks on the Windows side yesterday, and it's, if you're interested in it, you can watch that recording. But the main point I want to make here is that even though Config Manager is on-premises, it's really part of an ecosystem of services. It is wired up to everything you see in the big cloud there. It's wired up to Intune. It's a fully matrix solution. It thrives with its cloud connectivity. So really, I think the medium, short to medium term reality is really this hybrid environment where you have the on-premises Config Manager, but it's invigorated or tricked out a little bit by connecting to all these rich cloud services. So you continue to get, you never lose functionality. Our intent is that you never have to lose functionality if you stay on-premises, but you still get that rich ecosystem of services, whether you're doing modern management or traditional management. The last thing we want to do is start having you make a decision if I get A, B, and C capability on modern, I get C, D, E, and F on traditional, but they don't match together. That just results in disaster. So we want to ensure that we keep supersetting MDM capabilities on the Config Manager side. So I want to talk a little bit about our new current branch model. And the reason I bring this up is really to reiterate the point of our continued investment of Config Manager and how we've really totally redesigned how we build and release our main management solution of Config Manager. So about 10 months ago, December of last year, we released our first version of Current Branch. This was our attempt to really modernize Config Manager to keep up with these Windows guys because they started to release a couple times a year, and we were like, they came to us with this idea, and we looked at our multi-million lines of code product and said, uh-oh, something a little worse than uh-oh, but in that vein. And so we locked a bunch of engineers away and said, okay, can you guys figure out how we could update Config Manager more frequently than our typical, 3 to 5 year cadence? And they asked how frequently. And we said, maybe every 4 months. And that was a tricky conversation to have, but they pulled it off. They pulled off a servicing model that frankly blew us away about how well it's working. We didn't know it was going to work this well. I'll be completely honest about that. We were like, I think we probably had, a bunch of recs open for CSS just in case we needed to go hire 100 support people to support the people as they transition to this model. It didn't happen. Our call volume dropped by like nearly 20% after we released servicing. Mainly because we're now able to identify, because it's wired up to data and telemetry, and we're able to identify issues often before people even see them. If we need to plumb a hotfix down that channel, we can do that. It's right in your face, too. You don't have to call support and find out where on some obscure TechNet site you need to go to get hotfix 45716 and apply that to fix this content problem. It will be in your console, and it will say, this is to fix your content problem. Oh, I probably need that. So it has been adapted. And I said earlier when I was making the promise that we're continuing to invest, I said I would show some numbers to reinforce that point. Just to show you that we are still quite the popular product. Well, that's a little, data's a little old, but nearly 21,000 unique tenants have already upgraded to Current Branch. The most interesting thing on this slide to me is that gray box, that a majority of them, 10,286, are on 1606. That's been out for about a month, and they've upgraded that fast. When we set goals with Brad Anderson, our VP, around what our goals would be, we had to change those 3 times for the fiscal year, because every time we'd set a goal, we'd exceed it the next couple of weeks, and so he'd keep upping the goal, and we even beat that goal. But we were just surprised by this, and this next chart's even more eye-popping. It's actually gone up. It's about 42 million total clients today. Those tenants represent 42 million managed Windows PCs. We estimate that this is about anywhere from a quarter to a third of our entire Config Manager population that's upgraded in less than a year to Current Branch. So the adoption rate is high, the interest is high, the need is there. We've got a lot of people working on the product. We've got a lot of people working on Intune. We're developing both, but our intent is to really provide you with the tools you need to be successful, and you make the decision as to when it's the right time to switch your tool in or to move from traditional to modern management. We're not ever going to force that issue by pulling the rug out of Config Manager. We can't. We'd have 42 million of clients fall, at least today. We'll fall off the planet. So I don't know if they fall off the planet. It's a bad analogy, but I don't know where they go. So a bit of an eye chart, probably for future reference. Probably don't want to read this on a beautiful Thursday afternoon, but I'll cover some of the highlights of this slide. So again, cloud and modern management are absolutely where we see Windows going, where we see customers going. However, traditional management and by extension Config Manager, again, I'll say it one more time because this question comes up a lot, is not going away. We continue to invest deeply in it. Config Manager's move to a servicing model gives it years of life. It gives it years of flexibility, years of updates that are easy to consume. You don't have to go through a monolithic 6 to 9 month upgrade process every time a new version comes out. You click a button. We do it for you. We orchestrate the upgrade of every component in your infrastructure. Modern management through Intune has significant potential for that TCO reduction. It has a significant future to it. It's just going to be adopted at a variable cadence. And again, the best of both worlds solutions of Config Manager plus Intune is the right way to get you there. And I don't mean to sound like marketing. I just realized I sound like I'm trying to sell you something. I'm really not. I'm just trying to really position our strategic backdrop so you know you can make the right decisions for your organization knowing that we're going to support you on both models. And again, monthly, one of the beauties of Intune is it's monthly iterations of the service that you don't have to do anything. Even with Config Manager servicing model, you have to go click some buttons. Intune just updates every month or more frequently if we need to. It's a multi-tenant, cloud-only service with no infrastructure requirements on your side, and it just works. It's got great uptime. It's got great performance. We're moving the entire thing to Azure hosted to increase scale. We're going to have an Azure portal in Intune that's going to combine capabilities of the EMS suite of Azure Active Directory Premium and rights management, as well as Intune. And there's going to be an integrated administrative experience with role-based access, with API exposure, with reporting, with scale. So it's going to, the strength of Config Manager is being replicated, at least on the administrative side, in Intune as well. So that's another evolution that's happening that makes Intune-only management more realistic than it was previously because of all these enterprise capabilities that you need around scale, console performance, reporting, et cetera, that a lot of people stick with Config Manager because it does all of those things today. Intune will do those in the first half of next year, most equitable, at least from an administrative experience, to what you get out of Config Manager today. The difference there will be what you're able to do on the client based on MDM versus agent-based management. Again, back to that eye chart of the orange and blue columns. And then the last one is just really hammering home the same point I've been talking about. With the combination of the two, you get the best of both worlds. And we'll provide you the tooling to get from one to the other over time as it's right for your organization to move. Stick with us. We're getting there. That's the main point I wanted to land there. So these are some customer IT trends that we see. Today we see mostly organizations split along desktop, mobile, and productivity teams. You have a team that runs your MDM, you have a team that runs your PC management, and you have a team that runs your Office products, client and server. As the huge transition that we're seeing in mass volume, like for example the Office 365, the productivity team is less invested. They don't have to worry about the Exchange and SharePoint servers anymore. They're more focused on a productive experience for the end user. They're more end user focused. It's more of a productivity team. That's because they don't have to work on the back end side, the data center side. We're seeing a combination of endpoint teams, PC and mobile, joining together, and then you have your cloud office team. IT of the future, we're projecting, will really be a combined end-user computing group that combines cloud mobility management, which is inclusive of the Enterprise Mobility Suite and Office 365. So, but again, those will be variable trends over time. They'll be different by organization, but these are the common trajectory points that we see that we're trying to build our product suite around what we see IT organizational structure being. It's a guessing game, but this is in our numerous customer conversations and analyst conversations, this is really how we see the IT organizations manifesting over the years, and we wanna assure that we're building our solutions in combination with IT organizational trends. So this is another one of the key slides that I wanted to talk about. The main point, and you can see the top column is a traditional management workflow. The bottom is a modern management workflow. And then you move over and you go through some cloud layers. I really want to just put a talk track over this. The main point I want to make here is we see this trend, we see this trajectory of traditional to modern management. We're building out a solution built on a click-stop strategy. We see multiple points that you can start to make this move without profound impact of having to make a complete cutover from one to the other. Step one, we completely support IaaS, Azure Hosted Config Manager. First step you can make to cloud is moving your existing data center hosted config manager services up to Azure and reduce your CapEx and OpEx costs there. One cost reduction measure. You still get agent-based management, you still have config manager, you just get those servers out of your data center. If you combine that with our new and our 16.10 update coming out in November with content peer caching, you can start to reduce those distribution points as well. You move your brains up to the cloud with your primary site, management points. You start peeling away your distribution points because we have peer caching native in the product, or we'll have toward the end of this year. And then you can start realizing cost savings in Config Manager, but yet you still get the benefit of the client-based traditional management. Next click stop in that would be what's in the middle here, our cloud-based management. Not to confuse that with MDM. That's not an MDM construct. What that is the ability to manage your internet roaming users with a Config Manager agent through an Azure service. So we're gonna be providing a cloud-based proxy that you can put into Azure that you could manage your client-based systems, not your MDM systems, your client-based systems, SCCM client, from that cloud proxy without any DMZ-hosted resources. We will securely proxy all of those client requests back through that Azure hosted proxy into your existing Config Manager infrastructure through cert-based authentication. And then the client will get its policy and, for example, could install the application you sent to it from the cloud DP. So you start moving more to cloud. We have internet-based client management today, but it's pretty darn hard to configure and get to work right. This makes it incredibly simple. Maybe not simple, that was a little strong. It makes it easier. Don't hold me to simple. we're gonna have to re-record that part of this session. Those capabilities you need with an agent, like rich application handling, policies through DCM, software update management, you continue to get those, and you haven't quite made that click stop over to modern management yet. As that's all up and running, and as we evolve Windows and Intune and you evolve organizationally, then we want to provide a path to move that over time, that agent model, strip that away, and just move that to Intune. And that's really what we want to, and you can do it at your own pace, you can do it at your own, as requirements are met, but that's our promise. That's really what we want to build, is this combination of solutions that work very well together that have a roadmap over to the modern side over time, but give you click stops to where the analogy I consistently use is there's a point in this trajectory where you've just returned the rental car, and if you back it up, you're going to shred the tires. So we want to give you points before you go to the rental car agency, which I see as that last box, because once you've gone cloud, trying to go back to on-prem is going to be pretty hard. But we want to give you steps along the way that get you closer and closer to that TCO promise, but without necessarily shredding your tires as you try to back out of the rental car return. And then another thing that, frankly, I probably shouldn't even bring up because we haven't committed to it yet. I was just checking mail before the meeting to see if we were going to do this, but I didn't get a chance to get a response. I'm just going to throw my entire engineering team under the bus and say this. We are also looking at, not committed, but looking at a model that you could even take the modern provisioning workflow, that super elegant experience of opening a box, running through AED join, enrolling into Intune. And wouldn't it be cool if you could then drop the CM agent and have it talk to the cloud proxy and be B2B agent managed at the end of that? It would be another click stop that we could provide that's still not quite past the shred your tires point, but it does one more step to that modern management. You can take advantage of a good chunk of the modern management workflow by getting the getting that client onboarded cleanly, and then flip it over to traditional management to continue the policies and apps you need without having to make a profound adjustment in negotiations with your security team or changing policy or convincing your leadership team this is the right thing to do. You can start chipping away at this problem. And then last stop, after you've gone through that piece, your modern provisioning, you're still kind of falling back to traditional management. Over time, modern management is at the right spot for you. At that point, the nice thing, the device and user are already in Azure Active Directory if you've gone through the modern provisioning workflow. We just have to then, next step would be drop that agent and enforce an Intune enrollment and you're on cloud. Again, simple is probably the wrong word, but simplistic is what I'll gravitate to. So again, that agent delivery is not something we've committed to. We were assessing customer feedback just this week to see if that was a real thing that anybody wanted. By show of hands, is that something anybody in the room would use? All right, I got two hands back there, so that's good. All right. Okay, so that's a real thing. We thought it was neat, but often we think things are neat and we ask people if they want it. They go, no, that's neat. Okay, glad we didn't build it, but it's definitely something we want to look into, and we want to make it better than neat. So that's my click stop piece. Oops, sorry. So this is really the EMS experience, and EMS is our enterprise mobility and security suite of which Intune is a part of. Also gives you usage rights to Config Manager. This is just an overview of that end-to-end workflow and the points at which EMS assists that workflow. We've already talked about simplified deployment with Azure Active Directory join, configuring Windows 10, things like per app VPN, et cetera, all the policies, Windows information protection, manage and protect, and then unified device management. And again, our unified device management is really built on the promise of keeping Config Manager and Intune working together, whether you're a hybrid configuration or an Intune standalone configuration, and to give you the best of both services in both products. For example, if we add conditional access to modern management, we want to assure that you have that model in PC management as well through Config Manager. Getting to Windows 10, you've probably seen various forms of this slide, so I won't spend a whole lot of time on that. I did want to leave, since this is really a 200 level, not giant audience, I think we can have a pretty good Q&A. So I do want to leave some time for a decent amount of Q&A at the end. So if I seem to be moving quickly, it's just to get ahead of my clock here so we can have that good Q&A discussion. But the traditional model of getting to Windows 10, Config Manager, MDT, refresh, task sequences, imaging. That's really that's tried and true. It works. It's gets you back to a clean state, gets all the old stuff that may have come onto that machine over time. One of the, it gets you the ability to, all the things in the list. You guys know what imaging is. The upgrade process. Upgrade is actually a viable way to do Windows changes today, or Windows upgrades today, using the Config Manager software update engine to deliver the upgrade as if it were an update. We're doing a lot of, just a side note here, whether it's a refresh or upgrade, we're adding in 16.10 a whole new level of customizable notifications. So because now your user really does need to know what kind of update this is. When it was a software update, there was a security update, and nothing was gonna change on them other than they might reboot and yell at you, that was one thing. When they click OK and it upgrades their operating system, that's another thing entirely. So we've added some more, a slider bar of customizable notifications from nothing to much richer in specifically for the upgrade step, because that way you can let users better know what's going to happen, because it is going to be a longer running update. There is going to be more downtime involved, and you need to be able to let the user know what's going to happen when they hit that point. On the modern side, there is the provisioning package, the provisioning tool, which is also continuing to evolve on the Windows side. It provides that great example of, you know, putting a provisioning package on a USB key, executing it on the PC, and really building that PC out to what you want it to be, but without that crazy step of removing a perfectly good image and putting another one back on. That one is just, that one's driven by, there are a lot of factors that drive that first box of refresh. But it's just sad to me to get a bright, shiny new Surface Pro box and then go re-image that thing when you don't have to do that, because it doesn't come with a bunch of trial software that you don't want. It's a clean image as it is. With provisioning, you can do things like SKU upgrade. You can move that thing from Pro to Enterprise without re-imaging. You don't gotta have to go find all the drivers to put back down because you ripped out a perfectly good image and put a new one on. It's like getting a brand new car and putting a slightly bigger engine in that new car. There's no reason to do that. Just buy the car with the engine you wanted. And then there's user provisioning through AAD join and auto enrollment. And this is just I'm assuming you're pretty familiar with this whole AAD join process, but at a high level, there's a screen. When you turn on the PC, it asks the user if this is a corporate-owned device. They say yes. It takes them to Azure Active Directory sign-in page. If they put in a credential that maps your organizational credential, it will route them to the appropriate organizational sign-in page that may be branded your organization, put in their credentials, runs through a process, registers the Azure Active Directory. You can configure Azure Active Directory to auto-enroll that into Intune. And then the device is managed, it's secured, it gets its apps, and off the user goes and does their job. And possibly, if my team doesn't kill me when I get back, you could do this to deliver the Config Manager agent, but we have to figure that out first. And at the end of it, they log on to the device. They control alt delete onto the device with their Azure Active Directory credentials. That becomes the authentication service that the user continues to use. By Azure Active Directory being the authentication service, you also get the conditional access model, because you can configure the device to only allow, or configure through Intune, only let that device talk to email for that particular user if the device they're trying to access email on is secure and managed, compliant and managed. So again, we're going to close with, I'm going to try to leave 20 minutes for Q&A, and if we need it, you guys may just run out to the event, which is fine too. But it's really this slide again. And I know I spent a lot of time on this. I'm not going to spend that much time on it again. But for the orange, if any of those things are must-have in your organization, you're in traditional for now. We want to get you to blue. We want to give you the tools to get to blue, the solutions to get to blue, the products to get there. But it's a journey over time. We'll continue to invest in both of our product suites of Config Manager and Intune and all the other components of EMS to help get you there. But neither is going away, and neither is being underinvested in terms of years. It's beyond the horizon when I could say anything would change in that promise. So, in closing, some things to remember. I think I got ahead of myself and gave you the things to remember. Our customers have options. They're all designed to work together. Pick what works best for our customer, based on their goals and scenarios. We want to give you the option to be successful and not force you into a solution that maybe you're not ready for yet. Get started today optimizing what you have for migration to modern management. Again, those click stops that I talked about, look for opportunities to embrace some of the cloud capabilities. And lastly, evaluate this session, but don't evaluate the demos, because there weren't any. So with that, we did reserve 20 minutes. You can step up to any of these, I think, four mics that are in the aisle, and we're happy to take any question you guys might have. Thanks so much for coming out on a beautiful Thursday afternoon, and enjoy, if you're going to the event tonight, enjoy that. Thank you.
Gentlemen, the
So I'm just thinking about support and let's say I've auto joined AD, and my first tier help desk doesn't know what the device is that the person has.
Right.
How do I, can I change the name on the fly of the device so I can associate that device with my user?
That is a good question. I don't know if, I mean, you could, the device is going to be combined with the user that enrolled it. So you could reverse look up the device by knowing the user that enrolled the device by the user credential. That's going to be bound to the device in AAD. But I think you can change the device name locally. What I'm not entirely sure about is if you can change it server side and have it be reflected on the client.
So Windows is just going to have a random name.
Right.
Yeah. Unless they change it manually.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Another option you can do is if you go to the Add Work page, at the bottom there's a link that says Export Management Logs. That'll generate essentially kind of like a GP result policy state report, but also have device information in there. So you can instruct the user to generate that XML file and just email it over to the support desk, and that'll have that initial set of information in there for them.
Okay, thank you.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Simple question about 1610. Is it going to be a base install, or is it going to be an iterative update?
Good question. 1610 will be an iterative. 1606 in about 2 weeks will be a base.
Okay.
So 1606 will be a base. The media should be out mid-October. We're finishing up now.
Excellent, because I really didn't want to have to do this four times.
We're with you. We didn't want you to have to. So you just have to do it twice.
Hi. We've got about 30,000 devices on standalone Intune. We'd like to move to hybrid, but we're being told that because we're on legacy Office 365, that's not going to be possible without re-enrolling all the devices. Could you confirm whether that's the case?
Yeah, it's not that's the case. It's not related to Office. It's related to the way that we have built our management authorities. Today requires unenroll, re-enroll, just because it's a authority switching that we can only do on the operations side, and we just don't have we haven't evolved to the point where that can be a seamless experience. It is a brute force thing. To that point, though, we are looking at, and hopefully this is the first half of next year, we are investing in making the switching simpler, because it's a common question where customers start life in one config and want to move to another. We're also going to have a lot of customers that adopted hybrid because it had the things like role-based access that will now be available in Intune standalone in the first half of next year. And so for anyone that wants to switch because it makes more business sense for them, we want to provide a seamless experience to do that. So that will get better, but the state today is exactly as you framed it.
Okay, thanks.
So is it possible to take an Azure AD join machine and manage it with SCCM?
We're going to find out. I just made a bold claim that it was, but we have to make that work.
No, I mean, so right now, as it stands, it is not.
No, it's possible. That workflow I mentioned is not a viable workflow today. Because we have to do a little work on our client so it can be installable by an MDM, and we have to do some certificate-based work to make sure that it can communicate up to the cloud services. But you could, if you AAD joined a machine, you can put the Config Manager client on it.
Okay.
Yeah, that's nothing unsupported about that.
All right.
I mean, Config Manager client machines work in work groups, right? They don't really need a domain joined parameter. So, all right thanks.
Hi. So as a
it's so weird when you guys are asking questions because it comes up on different speakers. So I'm always looking the wrong direction. So anyway, there you are.
Yep. So as a group policy MVP, I appreciate the fact that you underscored that neither SCCM nor group policy is going away in any strategic timeline. That's very helpful. I appreciate you saying so on stage. That's the first thing. And the second important piece that I saw a provisioning demo in another session, but I wanted to ask your opinion about it, because like what I saw was, okay, I got the provisioning package, I email it to somebody, no security involved, they double click it and stuff changes on their Windows 10 machine. It seems rife as an attack surface. Can you speak to the security therein with regards to provisioning packages?
Take it away, Dean.
Which session was
I needed
this?
Some water.
So this was the one-click provisioning capability?
Yeah, I was in the last hour down in B Hall. An MVP did the talk. He talked about how you could either not digitally sign or digitally sign, and if you don't digitally sign, which is what his demonstration was, that you can just double click on it, get it in an email, or put on a USB stick, double click, and magic occurs. He did it in his demo. VPN profiles occurred, certificates were installed, MSIs were installed, and so on. I saw the demo. So I see no security between having a provisioning package and somebody double-clicking on it, and magically their Windows 10 machine, which was a home machine, is now an enterprise machine with these VPN, and any number of categories that are in the provisioning package. Maybe I saw it completely wrong, but that's what I thought I saw, so I figured I would ask your opinion on what the security mechanism is between is it the ICD program that produces the package, and then once it's delivered, which he suggested that, you can send it in an email, it's about 10K is what he said. Users are supposed to click on it, and then magic occurs to configure their Windows 10 machine. That's what I got out of the demonstration.
Interesting.
You saw it too, right? So I'm not making it up, right? Okay.
It's probably worthwhile taking part of this conversation offline, diving a little bit deeper. However, there is a scenario that we are looking at as we think about, again, as I talked about modern management, buying that device and quickly just typing a username and password. One of the things we are looking at is if I get a fresh device off the shelf and I want to quickly get up and running, instead of having to call my help desk, it's like, help desk, what do I need to do, blah, 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 blah. Can I just click on a link and that initial provisioning process kicks off and the device gets up to date? Now, the security piece around that, that's actually one of my colleagues who literally sits across the hall from me. So let's follow up online, and I'll send him a note as soon as the session wraps up, just so I can make sure his brain's thinking about it, since it's still a reasonable hour on the West Coast.
Sure.
And then we can definitely, look at that.
We've got each other's emails.
Yeah,
so,
we definitely do.
So that's easy enough.
Cheers. It's a really good question. I mean, I don't know how realistic it is that you're going to email out provisioning packages to your end users. You're probably going to send out a link and secure them on a share somewhere, but...
That was the story I got, which
That was probably a good story you got because it's easier to demo that way, but I don't know. But it's a good question. We'll follow up on that
one.
Okay,
thanks.
Thanks, Michael. Sir?
Hi there. So, two things. One, well, I appreciate the whole, not wanting to throw the engineers under the bus thing. It's nice to know that you guys are at least looking into that whole getting the SCCM client thing onto an Azure AD join machine through the channels you were talking about.
Uh-huh.
It's good to know you're looking into it. Two, and this may be a very simple question. If I have an Azure AD join machine, can it access network resources in a similar way to a traditionally joined AD machine?
There are some gotchas there, like NTLM and curb auth. I'm not the deep dive expert on like the access model there, and I know that you can, with AAD Federation, you can do some things to mitigate that. I just off the top of my head, I don't work on the identity side. I don't know precisely the answer to that. I do know there's some things you have to do and some things you have to be conscientious of. Probably just check that out on the AAD TechNet, Azure Active Directory TechNet site. If you've got my name, you can. It's just my initial, jgithens@microsoft.com. I can find out for you. I just don't know off the top of my head.
Sure. That's a question I've been asking all this week, and it's been kind of hard to get an answer on. So.
Okay, I know the right people. If you want to drop me
a
mail,
sure,
I can find out for you.
It's
a great question. I just don't really know.
Okay, great. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good, thanks. The peer caching that you're introducing in 1610, is that something I can leverage somehow using Intune and the MSIs I distribute through Intune? Can they make use of the same peer caching?
No, it's native to our agent.
Okay.
Yeah,
it's not part of the OS like delivery optimization.
Delivery optimization is, you're exactly right. It is part of the OS. This is different. This is our agent basically using some Windows components like branch cache to enable a peer caching story. It's purely dependent on the config manager agent.
Okay. Appreciate
it. It's not an Intune piece. All right. Thanks.
Anybody else? Don't be shy. I got 10 minutes left.
Well, we'll be hanging out if anybody still want to go up to the mic and have their voice come out of the little box. But we'll be standing up here for packing up, so feel free to come up with any questions. Oh, we got one more brave soul.
Yeah, I still saw your slide with with a modern direction to go, where you had the old fully managed and then the MDM managed. And I really wonder why are you putting it this way? Do you see an advantage whenever I start to dig deeper into this alternative of doing old group policy and script-based management and MDM management, mm-hmm. what I get as an answer is it's actually less management. So it's kind of an in thing to do less managed because this is cooler, because it's easier, people understand it better. Or why do you see this as a natural direction that we should all go to?
It's cost of ownership.
It primarily comes down to cost, but I do want to push back on something that she said that I found was quite interesting. It's not less managed. The management surface in Windows is still the management surface in Windows. And as we build out additional capability on our MDM platform, we're moving away from this whole concept of 3,336 group policies and having a policy for an individual checkbox and moving more towards a policy for a scenario. So a great example. That's one side of it. The other side of it is, as you look at certain capabilities in the platform, I'll pick on Microsoft Edge since I used to be on that team. There are certain capabilities in that browser that simply don't, certain capabilities in IE11 that you used to have need the 1,667 group policies to manage IE that simply don't exist in Microsoft Edge. ActiveX controls is a great example of that. So as you look at raw numbers, our MDM policy surface is going to be less, and that's by design, quite frankly. So it's not less manageable. I would happily acquiesce that there are some scenarios that we don't have policies around yet. So that's fair. But as we look long-term, it is about cost. It is about a better BYOD story. It is about making management of Windows and wrapping your head around 500 or so policies or whatever the number is today easier to grok and easier to manage day to day. A great example, one of our financial services customer base in the UK, we were having a conversation around IE11 versus Edge management back when I was on that team running the enterprise story there. And one of the stories he told me is like, every time we did an update to IE, we sat down and went through all 1,667 policies with all my security people because they wanted to sign off on each and every one of those policies. That's a lot of time and that's a lot of overhead. That's 3 days lost that could have been better suited with rolling out the next version of Windows or figuring out something else that's more important for their estate. So it's definitely about cost, but it's also about making sure the story it's simpler to grok, it's less overhead to manage, and we're leveraging the cloud, and we're leveraging telemetry, and we're just making the whole, what I affectionately call the whole mousetrap smarter.
It's about achieving intent without necessarily making you author every granular piece of intent.
Yep.
With metaphors like information protection, device guard, cred guard. I mean, there are evolutions of Windows that are happening that make some of those old things that you had to do moot. Software updates, right? You really don't need a granular software update management strategy moving forward as everything is just a cumulative update. So there are changes in the platform, there are changes in the process that will have to be embraced. But I totally agree with what Dean said. It's not less management. It's an evolution of how you manage and secure a device. Sure. Look at our conditional access model. That's a whole rethought out method of how you protect. Really what you're trying to protect is the data to begin with. Conditional access assures that any device that data is hitting is secured and protected so that data does not drop off that device into the wrong hands or is crippled with malware, whatever. So we're really just evolving the ecosystem of what management is, not intentionally reducing the management capabilities. We learned our lesson with the original launch of Intune around that, right? We made Intune was gonna be a simpler way to do PC management. We learned that simplicity and less functionality wasn't really a solution that was gonna take off. So we're not gonna do that again. Yep. We're gonna evolve the entire ecosystem of services to give you a simpler way to do management, a simpler way to achieve your intent. Management is not really, management's a buzzword. It's really about security and intent and productivity is what you're trying to achieve through management. It's not management itself.
I'm 100% with you with the subject of data security, the conditional access and all this data protection. This is new and this is very good. I mean, this mm-hmm. is new aspects we need to manage with new ways,
yep.
with MAM. But I have another view on this previous management, because I think this is historical reason, because, I mean, MSI applications have been around for 20 years.
Yep.
So companies have a long history of demanding more control because they know the applications, and year after year, the demand for customization rises, while mobile apps are just in their infancy. We don't have experience with them. And I think over the course of the next years, we're going to see more and more demands to manage more granular. And because we're just in the beginning, everybody's sufficient with, okay, I don't have a lot of settings to do. But I think that with apps being an enterprise, there's going to be a demand eventually for customizing menus, customizing specific aspects of an app. And there's nothing there. I mean, we had ways of doing this. And this is why group policies grew over the years. And I sort of feel that it's going to, after 10 years, it's going to be the same thing, I think.
So I can speak from a platform standpoint. We intentionally do not want to turn MDM into group policy. Like, that is an ethos. Like, if you remember the quote that I had over here above is, we love group policy, but MDM does not equal group policy. And again, it still comes back down to, yes, I will happily agree with you that over time, our management capabilities will grow. And we will leverage feedback from the Insiders program, we will leverage feedback from our customers, we will leverage feedback from having conversations at Ignite to make sure that, oh, and of course data and all of our various data points to make sure that we're building out the right capabilities to make sure that our customers are productive, make sure that the data is secure, make sure the assets are secure, make sure everything that we've talked about so far today is kept up to spec. That said, what we won't do is start lighting up policies for checkboxes. Like, there's an entire review process, which I was like sorting through some emails while Jason was wrapping up, on what policies get lit up and why. Because we're being very, very, very deliberate and intentful and thoughtful on what this story is. And quite frankly, it's directly influenced and guided by you guys. Like, if you sit here and tell me that, hey, I need this capability because I don't see it in the platform, I'm gonna take that feedback and rationalize it with a couple other customers that we talk to on a regular basis. And it'll likely pop up in the next release. Like, that's the beauty of Windows as a service. Like, we can iterate fairly quickly. So if there's, like, I come back to the earlier point, if there's something that you see that's missing, let me know. Because I'll take it back to the engineering team tonight and we'll see what we can get done for our next release, because we're in the middle of engineering right now. Like, Ignite's actually well-timed in that respect. But again, we're not gonna end up with group policy. And we're not going to end up with 3,000 or so policies. Like, we implicitly don't want to do that.
And that's, you know, I totally appreciate the perspective of your organization. And that's why, that was really the point of this entire talk, is we will continue to have, if you do have those needs, we will have a solution for you called Config Manager. You may not, your purview doesn't necessarily represent the guy behind you. I'm not sure. Maybe it does. I don't know. I don't know you guys, but it could be. But that's why we're investing in both. Because if you need that level of granularity, you have a huge MSI app source, and you want to keep doing it that way, go for it. We'll have the tools for you to do that. Yep. For customers that want to realize the benefit or really trying to move the dial on the cost of managing Windows, there will be an outlet for them too. And we'll build everything they need to be successful, like Dean said, by adding the spot policies or addressing the spot scenario they have without just throwing the entire kitchen sink of group policy at the problem. So,
okay. Thank you. It was a great session.
All right. Thank you. Yep. One more. Oh, wait. Two more, maybe. Okay. Go ahead. You're in the middle. You've been waiting for a while. So.
Okay. Thanks.
Check, check.
Go ahead.
I wonder if there's a way with a modern deployment process to guarantee the integrity of the image. In the traditional way, I was sure that I wiped everything off the machine and every bit I installed was installed through Config Manager.
Okay.
In the new way, you're telling me I am shipping a machine directly to the user and the user is joining it to Azure ID. And
yep.
How do I make sure that nobody has tampered with the machine, either the OEM installing some crap antivirus or the user installing his favorite games or so on?
Just buy surfaces. Just so, kidding. No, those are viable questions, and there's no silver bullet for the user that, you know, enrolls their own device that if you bought it off the shelf, I'm not going to name an OEM. I don't want to, you know, not calling names, but if you did buy a device that came with this image, it would really be incumbent upon the organization to buy the device or negotiate with the OEM to get a device that comes with an image that you know does not going to have any of that stuff on it. And that's easier said than done, but we don't have any silver bullet to go remove the trial, anti-malware trial version from that device. Now, that, I believe the provisioning folks are doing some work that will do that for you without re-imaging, but that would require, that's not the AAD case, that is that you have a system integrator in between the box and the user that does this process to clean the image up, but it doesn't re-image, but it gets the image into a known good state based on this provision. I believe provisioning is
definitely that. So to add on to what Jason just mentioned, not my team specifically, but the team literally sits next to me in our building. We are building the capability so that if there is bloatware, not spyware, but bloatware value-added software, as certain OEMs will tell you, you do have the ability to actually pull that off as part of the provisioning process. I think there is a time hit that you will take, 20, I think it's like 20, 30 minutes or so, based on the last time I saw the data. But we are building out that capability so that if it is a commercial off-the-shelf device and you have context on what the actual application is, or you know what the applications that are going to be there that you don't want there, you can pull that back off. But to Jason's point, like if there are devices that are sold in the marketplace that come with bare bones Windows that you can buy directly from some OEMs or buy directly from us.
And then in the life cycle of that device, you're really depending on this massive ecosystem of security services that Windows is adding, either in the cloud side or client side, to keep that device clean throughout, you know, for post-breach analysis with advanced threat protection, with all of the, you know, all the controls that are added for, you know, to prevent infection or a breach. And so those services, that device talking to the Windows services, plus the, you know, the AAD account of the user on the device, plus your MDM policies to invoke those, you get up to a pretty secure device at the end of that, at the end of the process, with all the Windows services and capabilities that are being added in Windows 10 and, you know, Anniversary Edition and beyond. So there are paths to achieve it. It's just a different mindset than the traditional completely wiping the device, locking down the image, and taking the user's admin creds away and basically making it a toaster for the user so they can't break anything. So.
Okay.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks. All right, one more.
Okay, I get the last question. So right. Dean's heard me say this before, and I'm completely on board with not dragging backward the 3,000 and change group policy settings into MDM. I'm super on board with it. I totally get why you don't want to do that. We're on the same page. That being said,
I feel a big butt coming right on.
That's not
here.
Even a butt.
However.
It's not even however. No, not a however. The question is, and as a group policy MVP who teaches group policy and MDM to thousands of administrators a year, one of the questions that I get all the time is like, okay, how do I, and not me personally, how do they, the admin, how do I pitch my need to you? Like, I can walk up and just say, hey, Dean, I got this thing. I think you should think about it. How does a mere mortal who's not here at Ignite, for every one guy here at Ignite, there's 1,000 admins who aren't at Ignite, how do they get their voiced concern about a policy that maybe should be MDMified?
Windows Insider.
Say again?
Windows Insider. And
does it work?
Actually, it does. And so there's two things. The Windows Insider program, you're previewing builds on a regular basis, and there's what's called system-initiated user feedback. Those little things that pop up, hey, how was this build for you? How do you like Microsoft Edge? Did you find it easy to connect to the internet? We have teams on teams on teams that actively crawl all of that data, build out sentiment analysis, and I see reports weekly on how my parts of the OS are doing. So that's one piece. The other piece, which is the feedback hub. So the beauty about the feedback hub is that it's crowdsourced. So let's say you put a feedback like, hey, I really would like a policy to manage widget A or address this scenario. Let's say 15 other admins, you can search for, like, does somebody say something about widget A or widget scenario widget? Upvote that. That actually pops up in a bug that ends up on my team that we have to look at and that we will look at. And then we'll triage and figure out what's the best area to respond to it.
And that's great. Can I ask you guys to write, as a homework assignment, to make a blog entry for, like, how to get your wishes ported to MDM? Like, I think that would be a really valuable thing
okay.
for the ecosystem to know how to get it elevated to your team.
That's fair feedback.
So we have a very similar, we have a user voice process on the config man and Intune side, which is the same thing.
Your mic's not active anymore. I'll come up.
Sure. So what Jason was just mentioning is for the config and the Intune side, we on Windows, we have Insider and Feedback Hub. For ConfigMed, it's essentially user voice. Right, user voice.
Yeah.
Which is the same type of concept. Give feedback, you can upvote, downvote, like, hey, this is important.
Yeah, I know user voice. It's not my favorite. I think like the most interesting stuff stays to the top and gets more votes, and the really interesting stuff that get 3 votes will never make it to your radar screen. I think it's a poor system to rate actual reality because we who do this more we have bigger brains than the number of maximum votes. It's just not a great system for that.
We use that as that's not the only factor we consider on a user voice item. We've delivered 60 items out of user voice in our first 3 releases of current branch of Config Manager. So it's a tool. It's not the only tool. Like if we go to a customer visit for a large important customer, we hear a feedback item, then we see there's a corresponding user voice item, we can synthesize that to mean it's probably something we should go do.
Sure.
Doesn't have to be the top vote getter. We don't just iterate by order down that list. We look at everything. So it's a little overly simplified to think that we just start scraping stuff off the most voted. That's a data point. It's not the only data point we use when considering user voice items.
I wasn't saying that you were. I was suggesting that for other people who are voting, more things that are already pre-voted get higher and more votes. So it's
cut this off.
That's fair. So again, thank you guys for coming out to this session. Hope everybody had a wonderful Ignite. Feedback is a beautiful thing, so fill out your evaluations, and if you have any questions, shoot mail. Thanks, guys.